Episode 44, For Thomas Matters Radio. This is Mark Collier, sponsor today, Omega Processing Solutions. Did you know that Omega Processing Solutions is a proud member of our community right here in Fort Thomas, headquartered here right on Alexandria Pike? They sponsor more than 70 kids on 6 different youth sports teams and provide more than $10,000 annually to this cause. They're in it for the long haul, folks, and they're right here in Fort Thomas. In addition, Omega's philanthropic endeavors provide financial support to health research, local schools, charity events, and other nonprofit organizations. And hey, guess what? Omega Processing Solutions is the sole sponsor of Fort Thomas Matters Radio. I would do this for free. I love it. But they allow us to do it every week, and they're a big supporter of us. We love Omega Processing. Give them a shout, 859-442-8100. That's 859-442-8100. Toll free, 866-888-9724. 866-888-9724. Or catch them online at omegap.com. Let's go. So today on the show, keeping with our theme of Fort Thomas City Council people, we've gone through 6 of them right now. We've got 3 more on the agenda. Today we've got Sam Shelton. Sam's actually a veteran on the Fort Thomas Matters Radio podcast when he announced his candidacy. We did a podcast with him. He had his entourage come with him to the Fort Thomas Matters Radio podcast studio, and but Sam is going to be here full in effect. Sam's an 18-year-old Highlands junior, so this will be an interesting one. Hope you stick around. We didn't get too much into the nitty gritty details of his candidacy before. Wouldn't put him on the spot like that, but I think it's a breath of fresh air that we have a young guy looking to get involved and to help his city. I think that's very admirable. But we're going to talk to him just like any other council candidate at this point. And I think it'll be interesting to see how he's kind of evolved his positions since the last time we talked. So we have Sam Shelton back in the Fort Thomas Matters Radio podcast studio. Sam is a veteran at this point, right?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, so went back and looked at the archives, and you can do that at fortthomasmatters.podbean.com, or just search us on iTunes. But Sam did a podcast with us, I think it was back in December, yep. Maybe January, something like that.
Yep, December.
And we talked about your candidacy. You had, at that point, had you filed at that point? I can't remember.
I think I filed a little bit after that.
Yeah, I think you said you were going to.
Then, because you were like, will you be running?
That's right.
So
yeah, I tried to get you on record. The hardcore journalist that I am.
There you go.
So since then, obviously you filed your paperwork. You are fully on and engaged now at this point. Tell me, so you were also on, I think WCPO picked up on that story.
Mm-hmm. Channel 9.
Channel 9. Tell me where, you're still in school right now.
I'm still in school, still a junior at Highlands High School.
So you're an 18-year-old junior going into your senior year. How your class has been this year?
They've been crazy. As always, but you know, I've got good grades going still.
I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Okay.
What's your grade? What's your GPA this year? What's your GPA?
It's a 3.1, I believe.
A 3.1? That's pretty damn good.
Well, my sister's got me beat, but she's a math whiz.
So oh, is she?
She's a nerd, that's for sure.
3.1 GPA will, man, if you're over... Well, in my house, if you're over a 2.5 in college, then I think you're doing okay. But 3.1 at Highlands, which was obviously just named one of the most challenging schools in Kentucky again.
It's true.
Yeah,
they really are.
you fully on board on the digital conversion?
Yes, we are.
Tell me about that.
Well, I've got my laptop in my bag right here, and It's amazing. I love it so much. I can do all my work at home. I don't have to go to the library, the public library, anything. All of our old computer labs at Highlands are now classrooms, which we needed because we need space dearly. So that helps out so much. And it's literally that one-on-one connection.
Right.
When I can't like get to a teacher, I can just Google it or send her a message and she'll respond back quick.
So do they respond? I mean, do you have connectivity with your instructors like during off hours? I mean, are you able to like ask them questions like when they're, you know, not during school and stuff like that?
We use a system called Schoology,
uh-huh.
which is where they post. It's kind of like social media pretty much, where teachers can post like when stuff is due, what's coming up, our grades are there. There's a message button where we can like send a message to one teacher or create a group completely.
Right.
And it goes straight to their email and to their Schoology. And if their Schoology and their email are attached to their phone, they get it immediately.
That's so crazy.
I don't have to wait until like the following day to ask a question about something.
Right.
I can just like within maybe 10 minutes get a response.
That's awesome. So Sam Shelton, you're also an Eagle Scout.
Yes.
That's a big deal. Have you completed like your whole, I don't know what they call
it's,
that.
It's I did complete my entire Eagle you have Board to do of a, Review.
A project still? Or
I already did that.
What's the project you did?
I did a reroute of the Fort Thomas Historic Landmark Tree Trail.
Yeah.
To fix some erosion problems and to clear out some honeysuckle. So
were you up at the, they just did another kind of like in memoriam of Bill Thomas, who was the creator of the landmark tree trail. Were you up there this past weekend?
I did not. I was so busy over the weekend with Into the Woods, the musical Highlands just did. But I appreciate Bill Thomas so much. I own like every book he's ever written about Fort Thomas. And I really wish I had the chance to meet with him. I sadly did not get that chance.
He was an awesome guy, and he cared a lot about the city, and obviously you do as well. And to kind of take up that work on the tree trail, I think is a big deal. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that. Just finished Into the Woods as well.
Yes.
Was that the last performance? Was yesterday? 2 days ago.
It was Sunday.
Sunday.
So 2 days ago.
Yeah. So how did that go?
My grandmother said it probably the best. It was the best production she has seen at Highlands.
Seriously?
So far. So
big, that's big props from grandma.
Well, Mr. Burgess is one of the best in the business, of course, in my opinion, from directors I've worked with. He is so professional. He was in it. He, I think, wanted to be an actor his entire life pretty much.
Uh-huh.
And then just by chance, he stumbled upon this position at Highlands to teach. So literally, we are learning from somebody who's been in the business and not somebody who went to school to like learn how to teach it pretty much.
Sure. So I'm going to look at your op-ed real fast. And it seems like in your op-ed and throughout the course of talking with you on the podcast and stuff like that, your main theme is that you're running for Fort Thomas City Council because, I'm going to read here, you believe that the younger generation in the city needs a voice. Obviously, you know, you talk about here, there's things for little kids to do. There's stuff, obviously, for adults to do. But you are feeling that your generation is sort of being left, you know, falling through the cracks a little bit. Talk specifically, I'm talking specifically, like what ideas that you have as a voice for that younger generation to make sure that there, you know, is no void for people your age.
Well, like there's been stuff that's been brought up in like the past, like a skate park being brought to Fort Thomas, a zip line. And they're coming up with all these ideas and literally just talking to kids at Highlands, they really don't want a skate park when they could just like go to Florence. They have one that's out there. I think Dayton has one like right out by their school. They have a small one down there.
Sure.
Maybe Newport. I'm not quite sure. I heard like in the past they had plans of building one under the interstate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's ever.
In Newport?
Yeah, Newport.
Yeah, yeah. Right by the high school right mm-hmm. there. Yeah.
I heard that was the thing. But I haven't, like, seen anything going further with that. we just need like stuff that's more engaging to us now.
So like what is like I know I'm going to date myself a little bit, but like when I was growing up, you know, we were kind of running into those same things. I think it might just be that age is tough to please, right?
We are completely hard to please. We just want some, what I've gotten out of like talking to kids is that we just want a place to like hang out pretty much. Some place where we can just be our crazy selves. We can like just do what we want to do. Mm-hmm. Just like talk to friends, that type of stuff.
Sure. Well, so I guess what you've worked on some junior Renaissance boards. You've been in that camp. And the Renaissance is really just an economic development engine that the city is a part of.
Mm-hmm.
Were you able to kind of come up with some ideas within that camp to kind of help spur you along those lines of thinking of what can we do for the younger generation here?
A little bit. Mostly, like, a few of my ideas are for my age, and of course a little bit older.
Sure.
Because of stuff. But like, one thing that came up is that kids want like another swimming pool, but a public one. Because who has time to wait on the Fort Thomas Swim Club list, which I don't even know how many years
I waited. The waiting list is. I got on last year and I put my name on it in 2007. So it took me 9 years to get on.
9 years. We just want somewhere that's like you can like just go up, pay dollars, and just go in. So even if it's like a spray park, even just like somewhere where we can just like be crazy.
Where are you thinking? Like in your, where are you envisioning that? Tower, Highland,
possibly Tower. Highland Park would be good, even though I would probably suggest a spray park just because it's so close to the Fort Thomas Swim Club.
Sure.
But it's so hilly back there, so we would literally have to like flatten it a little.
So have you been, you've been paying attention. I've seen you at some of the city council meetings. It seems like you're trying to.
I didn't get to this month.
You didn't come to this month.
I hated that.
That's okay. You're there though. And I think that's the important thing is you're engaging. And I think that's, you know, pretty impressive as an 18-year-old, honestly. Somebody's got to go. So give me your overall observations when you go there. What do you observe? What do you take home? What do you see about council that you like and some things that you might want to improve if you were on council?
One thing, definitely just like sitting in the audience, I wish more people would participate and come to the functions, definitely. Like last month I went to it and we had this entire conversation from Miss Debbie Buckley, mm-hmm. Fort Thomas Economic Developer, about the 150th birthday of Fort Thomas.
Yeah.
And she showed a video, she talked about all these events happening, and nobody was really there to like hear about it firsthand, but they had to like read about it a few days later.
Where?
On Fort Thomas Matters. I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
but do you think though that maybe that's just a symptom of, I mean,
Fort Thomas, a lot of stuff happening and changing.
Maybe that, or just, you know, the general consensus is that people are, you know, people are busy now. People are busy. They have their jobs and they've got their kids and they got their kids' lives. And then, you know, you try these other civic and engagement, or, you know, whether it's Fort Thomas Business Association or Fort Thomas Matters Family Advertisers or whatever. So the general consensus here is it's pretty good, right? I mean, we're always on the list of, you know, best cities or smartest cities or whatever. So do you think maybe it's just a symptom of things are pretty damn good here?
I think people are just busy, or maybe people just like don't really know exactly when city council is happening. Like I went to one of the city councils, I think it was actually last month, and some woman was walking out around out front, and she was like, "Do you know where the city council thing is?" I walked inside and I looked around, and there's nobody. So,
did you try to get her vote? Did you tell her?
I showed her where it was, and I said, "I am running." So,
oh, you did. Mm-hmm. You need a name tag.
I do.
You know,
I need to invest in one.
I think they're a couple dollars. That's it, Sam. I think that would be a good thing for you to have, though. But I mean, the point being is that I think it's a pretty good place to live. Obviously, you do. You mentioned that in a lot of your op-eds. But here's the thing. So you don't run for city council or any elected position unless you feel like you can improve the city, right? Mm-hmm. So let's talk about some of the things. And your main theme, again, is being a voice for the younger generation. What are some other things that you feel like we can improve upon in the city?
Well, one thing for certain is the armory. I've had several parties at the armory's game room,
mm-hmm.
and it needs a lot of renovation if we want kids to continue going there and celebrating pretty much. Like, there's photos on the wall of Fort Thomas history. I don't know if kids like my age, and of course I'm different because I'm like totally into Fort Thomas history, but kids my age, I don't know if we really want to see like photos of like what the fort used to look like. We want to like go over to the museum and look at that. Like, there used to be like a bowling alley in there, and they showed that on the wall, and I'm like, now there's a pinball machine right there. Like, I think that like more excitement things. Like, maybe we should like look and bring back the old bowling alley system.
Sure.
For there. Maybe just like revamping the armory up just a little bit. Like, maybe Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi would be nice even.
You know,
Wi-Fi hotspot.
I have to get on a little bit of a tangent here. We just did an article. It was written by Jen Heindel last week, and she talked to a couple of her neighbors that went on like this, you know, bucket list trip. They went to Nepal, and they talked about some of their experiences there. And when you think about Nepal, I mean, it's not first world. It's not the United States. But she made a mention in her article, which again is on FortThomasMatters.com. In the little village that they were at, the subject that she was writing about was on his laptop. And the caption, I think, read something along the lines of, "The entire village had Wi-Fi," which is crazy to me, because then you come to, you know, not just Fort Thomas, but every city is not wirelessly connected. We don't have Wi-Fi everywhere. It seems like if they can do it in Nepal, they should be able to do it here.
I was reading somewhere that there's like a forest, I think it might be Nepal, where you can like be in the middle of a forest and you can still get like perfect Wi-Fi and hotspot access and everything. I think that would be like really cool here, because that's like a touristy thing.
Sure.
It's like take photos and be able to post it and Snapchat stuff.
Well, that's an interesting point too. I mean, obviously, like, as the youngest person that's running for city council, there are some advantages and some disadvantages. And one of the advantages is like you can talk probably more knowledgeably about that kind of stuff than anybody else. Would you say that that's fair?
Yeah.
Are you gonna be able to campaign differently? I mean, are you going to use those different platforms? Like, probably most people are most comfortable with Facebook, right? It's been around the longest, but people your age don't get on Facebook like they get on the other platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
That's true.
What are you using right now?
I do use Facebook. So if you want to get in contact with me, that's a way. There's Instagram. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Snapchat. That's it.
Are you going to be promoting Sam Shelton for city council? Are you paying for those types
of
things?
Oh, I'm already doing that.
Oh, you're already doing that.
I'm already doing that.
Well, what else are you going to do differently during your campaign?
I definitely want to be more out there. So if that means that I really have to go door to door to people, if I have to like post on my Facebook page, like, I'm going to be at Midway Cafe from this to this, if you want to have a conversation.
Kind of like a town hall, like,
yeah,
a Sam Shelton town hall.
Just like, come out. If you have ideas, let's talk about it over some good food and drinks. That type of stuff.
Well, I think that's a hell of an idea. And I'll tell you, like, I think that probably happens more so in a lot of other cities. But here's, like, the general impression that I get. You know, I talk to a lot of different people in the job that I do. Mm-hmm. I talk to elected officials. I talk to, you know, citizens at large. And not all the time, but sometimes I get the prevailing theme that when we're talking about, like, how to campaign in Fort Thomas.
That's a tricky spot.
Well, yeah. And here's, like, some of the what I might hear, for instance. And this is somebody else talking. This is not me.
Okay.
But somebody else might say, why are you doing that in Fort Thomas? We don't do that in Fort Thomas. In Fort Thomas, we know who's running. We know who we want on city council. And this circus that you're bringing by campaigning and Facebook pages and all this and going door to door, you don't need to do that here. What do you say to that?
Well, that's your way of doing it. I have my way of doing it. I just, like, I love to write stuff. So for, like, many articles you guys post, I try and always write, like, my own ideas and descriptions and what I would think about it if I was on city council about these topics they're talking about.
Well, let me get a Sam Shelton opinion on something that has come up since the last council took office. And it's come up almost every year, and it's the way that we repair the streets here. So, you know, it's an assessment that is built on two components. The one component is each individual resident has to pay based on how many feet they abut with the street. That's one component. The other component comes from the state's road aid fund, and that's how we pay for streets repair, to be repaired, sidewalks as well. And that's how it's been always done for many, many years. Doesn't happen like that in a lot of cities. So if you're asking, you know, city council right now and Mayor Haas right now and city administrator Deal right now, it's always been done this way. Our streets are in tip-top shape because that's the always way it's been done. It's working.
It is working.
Well, what do you, yeah, so you take it from there.
Well, definitely the center of town is very nice. I don't know how much the citizens in the center of town and the Midway District had to pay for the bricking and the very decorative lighting and everything and having the lines buried under it. But like for a normal everyday street, I'm guessing you're asking for, correct?
Yeah, so like last year it was East Southgate, it was North Fort Thomas Avenue, I think it was... Like next year, it's going to be Barrett Drive and Daisy Lane, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So just like all that funding mechanism, are you okay with being in the minority of, I mean, in respect of not a lot of cities fund their street repairs like that? Or would you rather, you know, look at alternatives that might not cost? So right now, like, the only people that have to cut a check for the street repair are people that live on streets that are being repaired. The way the alternate to that is everybody's got to pay a tiny amount every Duke Energy bill or Duke gas bill that they get. And that's generally how it's funded. So which way do you prefer?
Well, I would be kind of mad if I was paying for a street to get repaired when I want mine to be repaired. So I could see it that way. Now, of course, I would like to find, like, if there's, like, another way of raising the money to fund this street so it's not so much of our residents paying for it. But, of course, they live on that street, and if there's a problem with it, like, say their sidewalk that's right out front of their house, like, there's, like, a giant piece of concrete taken out of it. We want them to, like, be able to, like, pay for a little bit of it because they walk on it every day. Maybe not somebody who owns Southside, who, like, never has walked on that street before.
Sure.
So that.
So let me give you a couple of hypotheticals here. So which one do you think is more fair? And I'm speaking just on an average, you know, Fort Thomas home. These are very general numbers. So let's say that the average cost for the street repair program as it is would be $1,000. So city council passes the street ordinance for the next year and says, Sam Shelton, next year we're going to do your streets. It's going to cost you $1,000. You got to cut us a check for $1,000. If you don't have $1,000, we can act as your bank and give you, you know, an interest payment plan. Or you take the city out of that equation. You take the resident out of that equation. So now Sam Shelton doesn't have to write a check one time. And generally, they say that your streets will last for 20 years. Mm-hmm. So you'll have to cut a check once every 20 years. Or would you rather pay a significantly less amount, which would be on your tax or on your Duke Energy bills? So it wouldn't be like you're writing a check for specifically for the street repair, but in a way, you are paying for it. So would you rather cut one big check for 20 years, or would you rather have smaller amounts for those same 20 years? And over the 20 years, you could be paying more, but it's not all at one time. Which one do you prefer?
Well, because I'm a middle schooler and high schooler, I don't have to really do this. So I don't know a lot about the topic, but I come from a middle class family in Fort Thomas. Sure. I'm not.
Which most people are in Fort Thomas. Yeah.
Now, of course, it would be completely different if we were doing like Rio Vista or Elsmar, who have like these rich homes that are huge completely. And if they wanted something done, they could be able to like probably write the check like immediately like that. For like most of Fort Thomas middle homes, which is a very big majority of our city.
The median home price in Fort Thomas is only like $150,000. And that seems wrong. I saw that statistic and I asked my realtor friends if that was true. And he said, yeah, it was. To your point.
Mm-hmm. So I think like paying a little bit over time. But I mean, if people have the money and they want to write the check like right up ahead, go right ahead. But some people just like feel comfortable about like just like spending a little bit here, a little bit there, just because it's like a safety net a little bit.
Well, and I think too, like the way ours is based on frontage. So like if you lived here on the corner of, let's say, you know, they're doing Winding Way this year and they're doing Haywood. So if you lived right here on the corner, you would have to pay for your frontage on Haywood and on Winding Way. Where if you live right next door, you don't live on the corner, you only have to pay for Winding Way. So where your bill might be $500, your next door neighbor's got a bill of double or triple that, $2,000. And I think that's the other thing. To me, that's the biggest reason why our system might be flawed, is that you could be living right next door to somebody and receive the same benefit of a street repair and pay three or four times as much. Where do you come down on that?
Well, maybe we just have to find a way of like raising the money a different way for that person.
It sounds like what you're saying is like, just because the way things have been this way before doesn't mean it's not worth looking into again. Is that generally what you think?
There's always like another way of going for this stuff. So I feel sorry for that person on the corner, but if they like move to Fort Thomas and they see that they're living on a corner and they think like my street might be repaired like this.
Yeah. Well, so let me ask you about this. There's six people on council. You've been to probably more meetings than a lot of the candidates. So you've seen how...
Going through Fort Thomas Matters articles, at the top, it's always like somebody absent from council. So,
well, that's a question I was going to ask later on, but we can get to that right now. I feel like at least showing up is...
That should be your job, pretty much. Like, I know like you only get paid like, I think it's $75 a year, but if you are elected to council over like how many other people, you should be showing up. If that's what you only do for like an hour and a half a month, you should like be able to like schedule out a time every month on that second Monday to be able to make it to a meeting.
Well, I was going to ask you if you would pledge to be there, but it seems like you're pretty passionate about that. Are you going to go?
I would be there every time. I mean, on conflict sheets for school, I would be like, I can't be there. I'll be at council.
Right.
So that's literally running, like, when you're on council, you're speaking for a whole lot more people. And if I go to, like, a theater rehearsal, that's just, like, me and a production thing. When I could just, like, write on my paper, like, I'm going to city council so that I can speak on behalf of every citizen of Fort Thomas.
Seems like that's one of your pet peeves, that some council members aren't showing up.
It's a real shame. They should be there. And maybe this is why we move so slow on some topics, because there's not enough people to vote on it. It's uneven, or it's even, and it would just, like, upset the boat. And so they'll be like, let's push it next week, next month.
So, and that's another good point that you bring up. So we moved recently this year. I believe it was this year. Maybe it was last year. We used to have two council meetings a month. Now we have one. Except in the budgetary months, I think in September and maybe June, something like that. Do you think one meeting a month is enough?
No.
You don't?
No.
And, I mean, you've been, talk about your experiences there.
Well, since I am an Eagle Scout, I've been Troop 70 out of St. Thomas. And one of the biggest things that we always talk about for an Eagle Scout application is, are you doing it in Fort Thomas? Because city council takes so slow on making decisions on an Eagle Scout thing. And this kid over here, who's been working since, like, I've been in it probably since, like, the age of 9. And I have to get everything done by the age of 18. If I'm one day over my age when I turn 18, I can't get the award if I have not, like, completed my service project.
That'd be crushing.
That would be crushing, because you've worked pretty much your entire way up to the top, only to be, like, pushed over by city council, only having, like, a meeting once every month. And if it, like I said before, if there's not enough people there to vote on it, it gets pushed to the next month, and it just keeps going. And you have to go through all this process, pretty much, and then you're left with no time. And then the product pretty much sucks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I agree with you. I do think that there's a bare minimum standard of what our elected officials should be doing. Seems like you're pretty passionate about that. Maybe that's how you were brought up. Maybe that's the Eagle Scout in you. I don't know.
Maybe a little bit of both.
I like it, though, man. I like the passion. What else are you passionate about on city issues? I mean, we've talked about being the voice of the young generation. We've talked about your work ethic and some bare minimums. What else does Sam Shelton bring to the table?
I go to Highlands. So I talk to younger people pretty much every day. We gossip. We talk about stuff. And not saying, like, a lot of it's about, like, Fort Thomas stuff, but it's, like, how the city runs and how, like, we wish it wasn't as quiet as it is.
Sure.
Which, of course, some people are like, well, we like Fort Thomas the quiet way it is. But sometimes we do want it to be a little bit of the little party atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, of course, that's the younger people talking. So we always want a little bit of excitement in our life.
Are you trying to gin up the young vote? I mean, are you going to get people at Highlands to come out and vote for city council? Obviously, we've got a presidential election by the time that you'll be on the ballot in November. Mm-hmm. So that in itself, the numbers should go up. But, I mean, are you trying to play to that audience?
I'm playing to that audience just a little bit, mostly because that's what people would expect. Like, I would be aiming at making sure I get all the 18s and
right.
Everyone that's your age and me young the same.
You call me old, Sam?
No, I'm not calling you old, Mark, at all. But I definitely want to get, like, older people's votes,
sure.
Because those count a lot. Because
so how would you talk differently to a younger person versus, you know, a middle-aged person? How would you talk differently and ask for their vote?
Well, it would probably be kind of the same. Pretty much like, what would you like to see Fort Thomas do? And I know that must be something that people always say, like, well, what do you want to see Fort Thomas do? What
right.
do you want to see happen?
Right.
That type of stuff. But it would be kind of weird seeing like one of the older councilmen come up to like a 18-year-old and be like, what do you want to see? When you could just have like a young person like me, like, what do you want to see happen, man?
Right.
Something like that.
So let me ask you this. When you were deciding that you were running, not including your family, who are three people that you asked for some advice, whether or not you should run or not?
It was a lot of teachers, actually. Like I said in my previous stuff, Mr. Harnish was definitely one of those things that he said, I wish younger kids would get involved because you guys are literally the future of America and you guys are literally laying around like you don't really care. So I wish you would do something that would actually make a difference and stop complaining about the problems that are happening because you're not in it. I did talk to Debbie a little bit about it because I'm best friends with her. I love Debbie so much. She's pretty much like an aunt to me, mm-hmm. because I literally talk to her every time I have a chance to. She is amazing. And I always like kid with her like, man, if I get on city council, we'll work with each other like together. So
sure.
Mm-hmm. On stuff. But
what do your parents say?
Oh, they're for it. My mom, like the day like the news came out that Adam was leaving city council, she was like, did you already send in your application for it? My dad was like, you should do it. So it's one of those like my parents are the ones that are like, if you like you talk about it so much, like you want to be mayor of Fort Thomas someday, you might as well get involved now. Being young, you get to learn your way up pretty much. So I get experience earlier in life. So they're one of those people that like if you start young and you start learning the stuff that's going to help you in life and get you where you want to be, like I want to be in politics, you should definitely jump right into it as fast as you can. You need to get your foot in the door.
Have you learned a lot since the last time that we've talked? Have you evolved since then?
I've learned that you get a lot of mail from politician websites and stuff saying, buy your stuff from here, buy your posters, your signs here, that type of stuff.
Oh, is that right? That's interesting.
Literally, I have a pile, I have a folder at my house that's like a foot thick of all this mail. And I still have to decide on, because I want to do signs.
Right.
And posters. I want to do a sticker with a bow tie, of course, on it.
Branding. That's smart.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and as we sit here, I guess I should paint a quick picture. You're here in some slacks. You've got some Converse on. Are those Converse?
Yes, they're Converse.
And some polka dotted socks that match your polka dotted shirt with a suit coat on and a bow tie, a plaid bow tie.
This is what I wear every day to school, pretty much.
You dress for success, man. I like it.
If you want the job.
Dress for the job you want, not for the job you have. Yes, precisely. There you go. I knew that one. That was there for me. So give me, we don't know each other. We get in an elevator together. We've got 20 seconds to spend some time together. You need my vote. How do you get my vote? Go.
Do you want me to act it out right here?
Yeah, right now.
Hello, sir. He's my name's Sam hand. Shelton. Okay. As you can see from my bow tie, I'm running for Fort Thomas City Council. Do you live in Fort Thomas?
I do.
Well, that's wonderful. It's a wonderful city, is it?
Oh, hell yeah, it is.
Well, are there any things you would really change about it?
Yes, but I should probably not say those things as a media member.
For reasons that we know of.
Yes.
Well, say you did tell me, blah, blah, blah. That's very interesting. My view opinion is this. Maybe we could work something out. Would you be willing to come to, when I get elected, would you be willing to bring that up to council?
Yes, I would. And I would appreciate you bringing it up and being the leader that you are and doing it yourself, too.
And we'll definitely talk from both sides of things. Because I care about you as a Fort Thomas citizen. Even if I don't know you on a first name basis or I just met you, I want to like be your voice because you live in Fort Thomas. You go your daily life probably doing something in Fort Thomas. if it's eating local, shopping local, going to our local parks, you're affected by our changes. So,
well, I'm glad that you brought up shopping local. All of those other printing companies that are sending you things, if I can give you one suggestion, you're going to, of course, buy your printing stuff locally, right?
Yeah.
Of course.
I'm getting mail from Chicago. I'm like, how'd they even hear about me up there?
They look at the Secretary of State sites and you know, because you're registered, they just go through and that's how they find you. They're smart. I do the same thing too, but we got to stay local, right?
Yeah, that's how you're supposed to shop.
Sam Shelton, how do people contact you? How do they stay in touch with you?
Like I said before, I'm guessing a lot of you won't Snapchat me. You can direct message me Twitter. You can tweet me. You can direct message me on Instagram if you have one. And of course, one of my biggest social media sites as of this year is definitely Facebook. You can direct message me or comment me in a post.
Awesome. Well, Sam Shelton, thanks so much for being on the show. I really appreciate you being here, and good luck on your campaign.
Thanks, Mark.
That was Sam Shelton. You can always find his op-eds on ForThomasMatters.com at the 2016 Election Tab app. And as always, you can find our archives on ForThomasMatters.podbean.com or just subscribe on your podcast app. That's available on your iPhone or Android device. Just search For Thomas Matters. Give us a rating, like it, comment on it, and that helps other people find it. Again, for Omega Processing Solutions, this is Mark Collier.